This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Come the motor to our Kiribati listeners and welcome everyone to Neej and Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and next to me is my Cook Island koi, Tinerau Arona T. How are you, mate? Jeez, we spend a lot of time together.
Yes, eh? We do. Kia ora, mate. I
love it.
last couple of days been a bit quiet, so it's good to be back here in the studio with you, mate. Monday night, we went to the New South Wales Pacific Awards, and it was held in Sydney. Funny story, so to our listeners, we did receive an award. It was the first award, and
I've ever received.
So Sammy was there reading the program. I think he was looking for, what were you reading?
I was actually trying to find out what the dessert was because you said, "Oh, I think it's ice cream." So I was like, "Ooh, where's the ice cream?"
Sammy's going through looking at the ice cream menu. I'm looking up the award. I'm looking up at the awards because they've just put out the nominees and they've got the title there, and it had Best Initiative Practice Working with Pacific Community. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means.
What does that mean?
Just trying to picture it. And then all of a sudden, and they said, the winner is from ABC Pacific, we have Neejan Footy. And I'm just going, oh, we won the award.
Hey, I wish there was like a player cam or something. And even because my wife was sitting next to me and she's looked at, oh, I think you just won.
You had no idea. I'm like, bro, we have to go up on stage. And you're looking at me going, nah, surely. And then, yeah, we went up there and received the trophy. And it's been cool over social media as well. On the ABC Instagram page, they posted it. And we've received a lot of love from our community, from all our family and friends. So just want to say thank you to everyone who was showing some love. But it was a nice award.
Yeah, just on that, I think as much as we never do anything for awards and stuff, I think sometimes when we come into the studio, we look at each other and we go, hey, do you reckon anyone's even listening? It doesn't matter because we go, oh, we're just having fun anyway. But, you know, to be amongst all those winners as well, achieving and breaking down all the stereotypes, I guess that's around our Pacific Island people, mate, some doctors, lawyers,
politicians.
Like, it was amazing just to see the amount of Pacifica presence in other fields. You know, they deserve the awards, not us.
Oh, so, mate,
you know what I mean? Like, it just, we just got the mic in front of our face here, but like what they're doing is amazing. I was humbled to be a part of that with all the talent there.
And it was funny, the event manager come up, she just walked past and she's like, oh, we're actually ahead of time, so we've got a few minutes. Do you mind if you and Sammy can go up and grab the mic and just say a few words?
I've gone to Sammy.
I've gone, oh, we have to go up and say a few words. And he thought I was joking. Next thing you know, we get caught up on stage.
Now, next thing we know, you've got the mic and you're instigating a dance off for tickets to the Tonga game or the
Pacific Championships final held next weekend in Sydney. We were sitting with Vaughn Vitale, who works at the NRL. He's a Pacific representation.
You got him good.
Representative
you
there.
Got him good.
And I've said, all the award winners, stand up. We're having a dance battle. And at the end of it, I've asked Vaughn, do you think you have enough tickets for two tickets each for each award winner? And he's nodded his head. He's like, I've sat back down next to him. And he's like, mate, you just stitched me up there. I'm going to have to go and find all these tickets.
Well, because how many did he say he did have? He had 30.
He was going to give 20.
Oh, 20.
But he had to give 76. 76.
Yes. Nah, unreal, mate. Congrats. It's been a pleasure this journey and looking forward to many more episodes and hopefully a few more awards, I think.
Nah, it's always about our people, man. Our show, Neej and Footy Fridays, we have the Pac Champs, so we'll be covering the Pacific Championships this weekend. You've got some rugby union news for us,
Sammy. Yeah, we've got some games this weekend. Looking forward to that one, chatting some rugby union.
And then we've actually got Sala Tongatuki, who has been playing for the Australian Gillaroos, and we'll catch up with all the women's footy with Sala. So a huge show to look forward to. We also have our competitive segments at the end. which will start to wrap up. We've only got two more Nijan Footy Fridays to go, Sammy, so let's rip in.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofogo-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yeah, as always, we're going to start with Rugby League, another weekend of packed champs, as T let us know in the intro there. So, T, second week or third week? Are we third week?
This is week three.
Talk to us, mate. What's happening there?
Well, I'd have to say this is probably one of the biggest games of the Pacific Championships. This will be held on Saturday in Auckland, where the New Zealand Kiwis will be taking on the Tongan 13 in their men's game. Now, the winner of this game will play the final next week against Australia, and the loser will play in the promotion relegation game, most likely against PNG. But I'm expecting a huge turnout there in Auckland this Saturday evening, and a big sea of red.
Is that word on the street? Is that what you're hearing? It's going to be a massive turnout.
Parades. We're seeing a lot of red flags, a lot of red jerseys. Surely you'd have a fair few family members going to the game as well, Sam.
Yeah, they're definitely going. And the thing that around New Zealand Tongans and Aussie Tongans, a bit of a battle there. Even Brisbane Tongans and Sydney Tongans about who's going to rep the red the hardest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so there's, you know, depending what happens in this game against New Zealand, say if
Tonga wins,
I can guarantee you
the Sydney Tongans
are going to turn out. In Parramatta, they're going to flood that area, and they're going to say that they're the number one Tongan supporters from around the world.
Oh, mate. You Tongans, bro. Very competitive people.
For the wrong things. For the wrong things that actually don't mean anything.
We are the biggest supporters. Our parade is bigger than your parade.
That's it.
Well, I think it's going to be a huge game, and I think it's going to be very close. I'll start with the Kiwis. The Kiwis, they go with the same starting 13 that took on Australia. Only one change off the bench. We have the Knights' Leo Thompson. He'll be replacing Jordan Ricci. And only one change in the Tongan team. So the Roosters' rising star, Siwa Wong, who has also represented the Bati Fiji, he will replace the Rabbitohs' Keon Kolomatangi. Keon has left camp to be with his partner, who is due to give birth soon. So,
congrats.
You know, sending some love to Keon and his partner, and all the best with the birth of the new baby. I thought there was a couple key matchups in this game. We've got in the front row, big Joseph Tapine for the Kiwis versus Adam Fanua Blake. You know, big versus big, a huge. You know, meter makers and for both teams, but also their offloads. You'd see a fair few offloads from these two. And I think another key matchup is Sean Johnson versus Isaiah Katoa. You know, who controls the game the best. I know watching the Kiwis last game, you know, everything came off Sean Johnson. You know, his kicking game, you know, the attacking shapes always come through. Wherever Sean was, that's where the ball was going. Now, I think Isaiah, going back to the week one, just a bit more execution, and I think that he'll find some points. So, you know, executing his plays, finding the right pass, you know, really utilizing them big back rowers he has in, you know, Ali Katoa and also big Haumole Olakau'atu. So, you know, we've got experience in SJ versus, you know, the youth of Isaiah Katoa. We'll talk about this game when we get to the tipping, but I think Tonga could cause an upset, and that would be hard to stop. Although this game is playing in New Zealand, but yeah,
well, okay. Make sure you do, boys, because the homecoming. We saw that guy, the Tongan guy, dancing with his chair up in the air. There's going to be plenty of chairs in the air, flags flying, cheering. We're on. We're ready to go.
And off to the game on Sunday in Port Moresby. We have the PNG Kumuls take on the Cook Island A2. Now, whenever the games are played in PNG, we always talk about the energy. We always talk about their fans. You know, rugby league is another religion for our PNG people. Now, I think this is going to play a huge hand for the Kumuls. You know, home field advantage, plenty of energy. They've also had 1 week's rest. You know, Cook Islands played the Fiji Bati last weekend. PNG Kumuls, well rested. Now, PNG Kumuls will not be they'll go into this game without their captain, Reece Martin, for personal reasons. You know, We are grateful to know these personal reasons because he'll be attending Fatamanu Brown's wedding.
I wonder what's happened here.
Fatamanu Brown, who's joined our show a couple of times, you know, you can find them episodes, which has really got us off to a good start. Wherever you get your podcast, he shares some good stories. So a good listen if you want to go and find that one. So Reece Martin will be replaced by the Dragons' Dylan Napa, a.k.a. Dan Russell.
Oh, I was going to say, is he actually in there? No. So, but we did meet him in Fiji, didn't we?
Dan Russell, I was like...
I thought it was him.
He's the PNG Dylan Napa. They look very similar, you know, tall, fair skin,
red hair.
But it was cool. We got to catch up with him at our hotel in Fiji. And yeah, really cool fellow Dan Russell was. And Judah Rimbu, he's been named to start at hooker in place of Liam Horn, but you know, we could see that change at the start of the game. Now, Cookies, quick trip from Fiji. You know, they've had to come over. I've heard within camp that it's a more comfortable camp this time in PNG. You know, they're staying at the Hilton. You know, they're getting some nice...
What, the royal treatment?
Treatment in Papua New Guinea. They were also there last year, so you know, they're quite familiar with the surroundings.
usually when you get a flogging, it goes the other way. You don't get any type of treatment. It's just
apparently. This is coming from one of their players, Ruben Porter, who I reached out to go, oh, how's camp? He goes, oh, it's actually, you know, probably a bit more comfortable than Fiji. So hopefully this plays, you know, some kind of positive role in the game. But I forgot to mention last week, their team manager, the Cook Islands team manager, Terry Glassy, he's a well-respected man in the Cook Island community and rugby league. I also got to play at the international level with Terry Glassy, and his mother unfortunately passed away 2 days before the camp, so he had to stay back. And before the Fiji game, they actually had a jersey. So before the pe'e, before the Cook Islands haka, Tui Kamitha Mitha, you would have seen it. He had the Fijian jersey. He placed it on the ground, and it had Varsity on the back, which is Terry Glassy's mother's name, Varsity Masters. So just a nice touch from the Fijians. I want to say a big thank you to those who were involved, but sending our love to Terry Glassy and all his family. But, yeah, this will give some motivation for the boys. I know that they'll be all revved up and ready to go in and hopefully, you know, work on the back of that love that they have for their team manager. But no changes were made to the Cook Islands team. I think they do need to work on that ruck control. You know, I thought the game against Fiji was, the ruck was very loose. You know, quick play of the balls. You know, keep mentioning the washing machine. Their middles just seemed like they were just always on the back foot, you know, not being able to control that ruck. Now, my key matchups, the centers, Ruben Rennie versus Roderick Tai. Roderick done a huge job on Michael Jennings when they played Fiji in week one. Ruben Rennie will have to do a big job against Roderick Tai because they're both solid, both similar players, low to the ground, powerful players. And my last matchup, Nene McDonald versus the whole Cookie Pack. Because Nene McDonald ran a muck last year and he also ran a muck against the Fijian game. So if the Cook Islands want to be a chance in this game, they need to control Nene McDonald because he is a huge threat for the PNG Kumuls. So sending luck to my Cook Island brothers over in PNG. It is going to be a hard battle, especially when you're going up against the whole nation over there in Port Moresby. But I know it's going to be a huge game. So looking forward to that one on Sunday. Now we also have the Tor Samoa over in England. They are about to play their second test match against them. Yes, they did lose to England last week, but in this game, no Isaac Tungo, but his brother has been named Jake Tungo to play this weekend, or he's named in the squad. One thing we didn't pick up, or we didn't speak enough about last week, was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. A huge movement from maybe being a chance of playing in the Kiwis, but he also speaks about him wanting to represent Samoa when he was playing rugby union. I've seen him speak about you know, when the Tongan boys, sorry, when the Samoan boys had their World Cup campaign, went all the way to the grand final, and he was sitting in the room with Adi Sevilla at the time, and they were going, you know, they were real passionate and had that pride for their country and their nation, and he wanted to be a part of that. Now, Roger's there right now in representing Tor Samoa with the blue jersey, and then you just see some of the players that he's surrounded by, and I just think guys like Blaise Talangi, Jarrell Skelton, Junior Ponga, the amount of experience that they'll be learning off Roger Toivasa-Sheck will be of huge value. You know, the stuff that they'll learn from Roger and the habits that he has, they'll be able to carry some of the lessons for a very long time during their playing careers.
Yeah, it's those lessons around preparation are the biggest ones that you learn from those type of players, especially for someone like Roger who's been in the Rooster system before he went over to Rugby Union and in the All Black system. Like, that's, you can't really get any better than that when it comes to high performance and preparation. What's he doing with his body while he's watching TV? Is he stretching? Is he foam rolling? So all of those little things, Blaise at the start of his career is like going, oh, is that what professionalism looks like? So he's working backwards from the end goal that he wants.
Yeah.
Because he's at the very start of his career. So I love that he's in that camp.
So all the best to our Tor Samoa brothers over in UK this weekend, where they play their second and final match against England. In other news, staying on the Samoans, we have Terrell May. You know, news has just been released that the Sydney Roosters has approached Terrell and his management, and you know, allowed him to explore other options at other clubs, which was a huge shock for me, because I'm
didn't
like,
he just resign?
He did resign this year, and he also was one of their go-to guys. So I don't know the reasons behind it, but one thing Terrell May did do on his social media was he had a post of the news, and then he quoted, "Nothing to do with off-field stuff." So, you know, he's probably clearing the air there, you know, making it clear to everyone that this has nothing to do with anything off-field. So it's a huge shock for everyone, I think, because Terrell was one of their informed players, and at one point he was a chance of playing for New South Wales Blues.
Very strange, and it's great that he can control the narrative too and clear the air, but at the same time, I really don't like that he has to justify his reasons.
Yeah.
You know, he's over-representing Samoa at the moment. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. So he's over there. He's in the UK preparing for that game and has to deal with this type of news away from home. So hopefully it doesn't impact his preparation and performance, but you know, knowing how good he is and a talent he is, I don't think it's going to affect him. And there'll be 100 clubs lining up.
Oh, mate, there'll be so many other options.
He'll be good at Union?
Nah, absolutely. He's not coming? Okay, he's not coming. Some rugby league club will be very fortunate to be able to get his signature. More news to come. And Dejan Arce, who played for the Parramatta Eels, he has also signed a 2-year deal at the Castleford Tigers in the Super League over in the UK. So congrats to Dejan, and I won't say good luck, because Castleford Tigers was the rival of Wakefield Trinity.
Is that the big rival?
That is the big rival. So when Wakefield Trinity play Castleford Tigers, oh, it's on. So good luck when you play Wakey, baby. Wakefield till I die, Dejan.
So do they finish down the bottom with Wakey as well? Are they a low team? Castleford?
We just got promoted. Yeah, we weren't even in Super League. We come up.
Yeah, Wakefield till I die, who reckons?
Hey, we were Super League for 7 years when I was there. But remember, with all the Pacific Championships games, you can hear them live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, that is it for Rugby League. Off to Rugby Union.
Yeah, let's get over to Rugby Union. And there's a big game this weekend. We see Scotland take on Fiji at Murrayfield. In Scotland, Sunday morning, 5:40 a.m. Fiji time. So that's going to be a huge game for Mick Byrne and his men. And for two players in particular as well, we see Wanga Nalanga and Kemu Valentini. They could potentially make their debut, you know, from the bench in that game. And for the Valentini family, it's been, an amazing few days, because his brother Rob Valentini just got announced as the John Eales medalist, the award winner. So equivalent to the Rugby League Daily M, the great John Eales. They have that ceremony, and Rob Valentini was named the winner of that award, and well-deserved too. He was outstanding in this test campaign as well as Super Rugby. But for Mick Byrne and his men, like just having a look at their team, one thing that I do like about his team, he's been consistent with his spine, seeing Frank Lomani at 9, Caleb Munce at 10, and Isaiah Armstrong-Ravulla at fullback. So in his mind, preparing for the future and the style that he wants to play, he is looking forward to the run, pass, kick options, making sure they make good decisions in the right parts of the field, not just being a run threat, trying to run it out from their 22 at all. So, as the only option. So I think with Isaiah, we could be probably seeing him play at 15 for the draw as well and keeping Caleb there in that combination leading into the World Cup. But absolutely love that. And I think for other players as well around him, it just allows, you know, Logani Massi, the winger that just signed with the draw, he starts there as well. It just allows those guys just to concentrate on doing what they do best and finishing. It will be a big game for them.
How does Scotland go in the international game?
I think they're probably similar to the Wallabies at the moment. I reckon they have up and down season, but very, very tough to beat at Murrayfield. Like they've got the bagpipes playing their national anthem. You'll see their lead bagpipe player. Oh, I don't know what the proper terminology is for him, but he's up on the stadium roof.
Oh yeah,
and then you just see it kicks off with the anthem of just you just hear the bagpipes and it's silence until they start singing. Like you get goosebumps watching the start of those games at Murrayfield, and we get to also see Tongan Australian Scottish heritage player Sione Tuipulotu lead out Scotland for the very first right. time. He's the captain, so he's going to be marching out there. There will be people in their kilts. So I think it's very
Tongan,
fitting.
The Tongan William Wallace.
Yeah, he is. It'll be cool to just see him just leading that Scottish team out there, and with, as I said, with the bagpipes going and a full Murrayfield, I think there's about 60,000 people there. So for Fiji, I think this will be a big test and one that will be needed for them to get their tour up and running. Probably this time around, they're probably well prepared compared to other tours. And I guess that's off the back of all the good work that they've done with the draw and the Flying Fijians doing well at the World Cups. And Mick Byrne had this to say about their preparation.
Physically, they are prepared. You know, as I said, getting here on Friday and getting through the jet lag, which was, it's quite a task to, you know, body coordination. You're not as coordinated and as lively as you would be, you know, and to be able to have a couple of days to work through that process was really good. And Monday's training was awesome. You know, they really got out in good spirits. And then yesterday we trained at pace with a bit of contact. There's a lot of good energy around. Always excited by the clash that's in front of them.
Yeah, just talking about the preparation and jet lag and heading over there.
Does he usually speak like that? Like low energy?
Yeah, Mick Byrne. Yeah, that's him. Like he does it.
Or is he jet lagged?
He could be jet lagged. Probably more so. I've interviewed him a few times. Whether he wins or lose, it's the same
tone.
Face, already on to the next job.
But, you know, the game's on Sunday morning, 5:40 a.m. our time. Now, a lot of those players would be used to, you know, their body clocks. If they were to go with short preparation, they would be used to, you know, their time zone over here. So it would be like they would be playing at 5:40 a.m. if they didn't get that time. Now, in the past, through my own experiences with, you know, being able to go over there, but you need at least 3-4, sometimes a whole week adjust to the time zone because, you know, it's a whole day. Yeah, your body, your mind, everything's just sort of out of whack until you get it right over. And yeah, it takes a week to get your head around it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I think these games are crucial, especially when we look at the Drawers' performances. Every time they've had to travel over to Perth with that time difference, it's essentially like a midnight kickoff for the Drawer boys, and they've come out of the blocks a lot slower compared to when they've played them in Fiji. It's almost like two different teams. So yeah, in terms of preparation leading into the World Cups and further test match footy against the Tier 1 nations, this is going to be a great first up test for Scotland. Up for Fiji on that one. In other news as well, I don't think you can get any more Fijian than this. With 25 players of the Fijian players over in Europe with the Flying Fijians, the Fijian Drua organised a game of sevens against the sevens national team for a trial game.
So the Fijian draw.
Yep.
The rugby, the 15s team. Organised a sevens team. Sevens game against the international sevens team.
Sevens team. They played yesterday.
they're probably your friends, or they have probably played with a few of those players would have played in the other team anyway.
Oh, yeah, the crossover was seamless. You know, just watching some of the footage, the Fijian sevens team ended up winning, but I don't think it was by much. It was
It was a genuine game.
Genuine game, bro.
Oh, so it wasn't just a training. Like, they played seven aside.
No, it was
a
genuine game. They kept score and they opened it up to the public for them to come watch. And there's a clip, I can't remember his name, but like a prop for the Fijian drawer.
That clip you sent me?
Yes, that
where
clip.
The prop, offload, he played about five different roles in the 100-meter try.
100-meter try. He makes the first line break.
Offloads,
gets back up.
Ticks his feet over, finds the ball again, passes draw and pass. It, gets back up, follows the ball, gets the ball again, sets up the try.
Like, I just couldn't believe that this is their preparation for their game. There's no way that I don't think you'd ever see, say, like the Waratahs going to have let's have a sevens game against the Australian sevens team. I just don't think it would happen. So I love that about Fiji. I don't think you can get any more Fijian than that. And the best bit about that game as well is just the way they come together. You spoke about Tuika Mokomitha doing that nice gesture, and we always see it after the game, the hymns. But just seeing the sevens boys and the Fijian drill boys come together and singing a beautiful hymn. You don't get tired of hearing the voices of the Fijian people just singing beautiful hymns like that. And
goosebumps, mate.
Yeah,
gives you goosebumps.
Absolutely. Play hard on the field, come off, give thanks to the
Gentle
Lord.
Gentle giants.
And they will. And after that, the Coral Coast Sevens are played like a proper tournament in Fiji. The Coral Coast one, Lotte Tungiri and Sarah Nagama commentated that one. Guess what the Fijian drew have done?
What?
They've entered a team into the
into the Coral Sevens.
Yeah, into the Coral Coast Sevens. So they'll be sending a team in that one in preparation for
this.
Who's
the head coach there?
Glenn Jackson, actually. Oh, yeah, new coach because Mick Burns with the Flying Fijians.
Hey, he knows the ways, man.
Absolutely, he does. So he knows how to bring the people together. But that's all we have time for rugby union. And looking forward to actually reviewing a game come Monday.
Well, great stuff with the rugby union. It's good to see that there are a few games being played this weekend. Now let's head straight over to our culture shock for this weekend.
Culture shock.
Yes, Sammy, last week I told you that the Tongan rugby league team was the first ever Tier 2 team to beat Australia Kangaroos. That was my culture shock. Now, this week, I challenge you to give me a culture shock about the crossover of Japan and the Pacific Islands.
Yes, I reckon you are going to be shocked on this one. Bear with me, though. There's a little bit of a timeline to this, okay? So it is going to lead to our culture shock.
You know, all right, let me get my pen and paper
out. Get ready for it. This is going to date back to the 1940s, right? Okay. So the King of Tonga at the time, King Tupou IV, he studied at Sydney Uni, came over and studied. And after his studies in 1943, he went back to Tonga and ended up being the Minister of Education over there and started the first selective school in Tonga known as Tonga High. Okay. But in his studies, he had a fascination with the soroban. A soroban is the Japanese abacus. Do you know what abacus is?
Is it a plant?
No, it's not a plant. It sounds like a plant, though. I would have probably guessed something like that as well. But it is, you know, the bean counters. You remember the old thing where you got the beans on metal rods and you slide them up and down.
Yep.
So
the white black ones where
those ones.
Like counters.
Counters.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why they call them the bean counters. So in Japan, that's how they learnt mathematics and right through. So the king at the time, he loved that way of learning because of like the concentration required. and the motor skills of using your hands to move the beans around, which is scientifically proven that when you've got hand to pen or hand to whatever the action is, you're going to remember things a lot easier.
Yep.
So that was his obsession, and he wanted that for his education in Tonga. That was back in the 40s. Fast forward to 1975, there was a professor from Japan, Toshio Nakano. He was the director of Daito Bunka University rugby team. They went on a tour to New Zealand in that year. He didn't really like rugby union. He just went on the junket, was bored. Apparently he was just bored and then jumped on a plane to Tonga. They don't know why. He just thought, I'm going to go check out Tonga. On that plane trip, he sat next to a guy named Mr. Sione Naafiafia. He was actually the director of education in Tonga at the time. As they got talking, he found out that the professor Nakano was the chairperson of Japan National Soroban Federation. Knowing that Mr. Sione knew the king had an obsession with it, they got talking. He went and met the king on that trip. And so the king goes, we're going to build a relationship with Japan so we can send our students or try and organize scholarships for our students over to Japan. Then in 1979, this is where we introduce Hopoi Taone. He's the first person to get a scholarship from Tonga to Japan for Soroban. He ends up being the first ever foreigner, not just Tongan, but first ever foreigner to represent Japan in any sport, but he does it in rugby union. And so he was able to do that after his scholarship from Daito Bunka University, studied the Japanese language. And from there, do you know the reason why they kept taking him on the tours as well? It's because he ended up being fluent in Japanese. So when he used to take the team managers and stuff around, he would have to be their translator as well. Take him to the hospital if they got an injury, he'd have to be the translator for the doctor. So he ended up being this significant figure within Japanese rugby, not just as a player, but just as a person that immersed himself in the culture. And because of him, he was able to bring another Tongan over. His name was Nofumuli. And then because of Nofumuli doing a good job as well, they were able to bring another Tongan over. And then from there, that's how Pacific Islanders ended up playing in Japan. It was off the back of one person. Because if you understand Japanese culture, if you get one shot at doing something and you do it right, they'll do it forever. If Hopoi Taone, if he did a rubbish job over there and didn't immerse himself in the culture or didn't like it and it didn't work out, I reckon to this day, there wouldn't have been an influence of Pacific Islanders in Japan. So off the back of that, that's how it all started, T.
I did keep up.
I thought you were falling asleep there.
It was the longest culture shock that we've had so far.
But I had to paint the picture.
But I was still thinking back with King Tupou and his obsession of the counters and where this related. And it was just another professor sitting next to a Japanese bloke flying to Tonga and using the counters as a connection piece to meet the king.
To meet the king and then this happened.
Created the relationship. See, you could have just said it like that.
No, I had to paint me to the timeline.
I could have just saved you 15 minutes.
No, I needed to paint cool. it. But that's how it all started. And that is what they talk about faith, putting faith out there and energy, because it just all aligned for it to happen. And Hopoi Taone is considered a Japanese legend. Still to this day, he was the first ever over there. And
well done, mate. That was a good culture shock. Next week, mate, what do you got for me?
I think we should be heading over to the Cook Islands.
Yes, sweet.
We should head over there and just give me something on the cookie culture.
Well, I'll try and not keep it that long. I'll try a little bit shorter.
Keep it that long if it's great. Was it great, listeners? You let me know. DM me.
Nah, all good. Well, let's head over to Sala Tongatuki to cover all things women's footy.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Man, we are so grateful to have Sala Tongatuki here on Nijin Footy. She is currently representing the Jellaroos, and in her week off, She's actually just finished some training. She is here joining us to give us an update on how the camp has been so far. Yes, she has played NRLW. Yes, she has played for New South Wales Origin and also the Fetu Samoa. But how was it to represent the Jillaroo Sala?
First of all, it's nice to be back. It's been a long time. Sorry, guys. But honestly, it's what I sort of dreamed of, like, just walking, like everyone was just so welcoming. And it was quite surprising, like, had our fan fest and that. A lot of the girls, like, assume, like, I'd been in the squad already, but they were quite surprised. Like, they just try, like, they, obviously they were being reminded that it's still my, it was my debut then. Yeah, it's just, I just feel like I've been longing to be there for a long time, just had a couple of adversity to sort of overcome in that in the last couple of years and seasons. So, yeah, I'm finally there now. And it's, yeah, even just watching, like, obviously a bit off topic here, but just proud watching the Fetu Samoa girls. Like, they, like, obviously it was a bit hard for the decision this year, like, either I go play and help them qualify or I chase my dreams and finally tick that off the box for me. And, you know, hopefully in the future I can put on that jersey if it's still available. But, yeah. Quite proud in where I am and how the journey's unfolded so far, and it's seeing the smile on my family's face and my parents. It's like all their sacrifice, it's been worth it, and they literally look at this country like everything and more to them. So that meant a lot to me when I put that jersey on and ran out for the first time. So
yes. Yeah, I've been loving. That's good. That's so good. We'll touch on Fetu Samoa shortly, but. Yeah, what was your favorite moment when you wore the gold jersey?
I think just like, or like in the camps, my favorite moment was more in the camp, and it was obviously leading up to putting on that jersey, but it was the respect and the stories of the past players, and like they had a theme going for every camp, like every week. And the first week I walked into was all about the past, respecting, like, you know, our past players that paved the way. And just, like, there was an activity where we had to reach out to an old Jillaroo, like, there's an honour board, like, a role, and you could pick out any, like, name, and obviously you can't have the same, and you had to find a way to connect with them. And obviously a lot of us went through socials, Facebook, Instagram, like, we try to get phone numbers if it was still there. And quite surprisingly, we had a lot of like of them respond, and they felt like, I think it was just special for them, because obviously once you're done with the jersey, it's like there's no more acknowledgement of you. Like, it's not enough. They're honouring them, and that was just enough for them to know that we were willing to share this story and with the current playing group. And that's what it's all about, is you want to make sure your legacy is going to be shared upon the next generation. And I think for that, for me, it's like special, because obviously I've now put a number to my name, and in the next 10, 20 years, obviously I've got nieces and like friends of mine's kids and that want to, that aspire to be a Jillaroo, and hopefully they can see our name and want to one day reconnect and be able to tell our sacrifices and how we got to that jersey and how much that jersey means to us. So, yeah, it was really shocking. I didn't even know I think for one of the stories that interested me was just like they had three ACLs and they still ended up being picked. Like, there was just willingness there for them. They just didn't give up. And one of the Jillaroo's values is rise, resilience in their rise. And that stood out for me, and yeah, just sort of helped push me through the camp my first week.
Man, just when I feel like I've heard it all, when you talk about theming and, you know, past players coming back and doing jersey presentations, that's up there, one of the best ones I've heard. You know,
you haven't heard that one.
Nah, I haven't heard that one where you pick a name and you got to go reach out, like cold call. Do it yourself. I haven't heard that one. And I feel like that straight away, you know that, ooh, that is a legacy piece. I'm reaching out. This is my number. I'm going to reach out to that number. Yeah. Who was the player that you had to reach out to?
I had a couple because I had
no answers on the phone call.
Sala
who? Sala who?
Yeah, I won't have a phone in the next 10 years. I'll be retiring in a quiet country town, hopefully.
Who did you have to reach out to?
Can I get her name out? Sorry. It was Kelly O'Doherty. So she was player number 51. And she played with Karen Murphy in that, but it's just her, like she was in a police academy. She went to Great Britain to tour for like Aussie and that. And then, 5 years later, she got her knee brace. That's when she did her ACL like 3 times. So she was my player. And so I've got like a whole, she sent everything, like all her stories and that. It was really good, but like, they even shared like some of the naughty things they got up to in camps. And I was like, what the heck? Like, it makes you feel relaxed a bit. Like, obviously when you think of Australia or the international teams, like some, or like there's a higher professional standard when you step into those teams. And I think I was a bit tense going in. Like, I had a lot of expectations. Didn't want to fail my teammates. Didn't want to fail anyone in general, my first campaign. And when Kelly, like, told me her story, I was like, oh, my God, like, righto. Like, it showed me that you need to have a balance. Like, you're never going to really enjoy your moments now if you don't have that kind of, you know, not naughty moments, but that bit of fun to
bit
it.
Bit of fun where you can connect with your teammate again and go, remember that time on tour? You go, oi. Because do you know the best thing about those ones? Because a lot of what I've found is some of those players that you play, they end up in like pretty high positions outside of footy. And there's always that common ground, like, don't you ever look down on me or whatever, because I remember that time on tour. So it's a special bond that's very unique into sporting environments.
It's like when our mates look at us behind the mic, we're like,
don't you ever.
Don't lie, boy.
Boys, congrats on your award.
Oh, we appreciate it. Hey, it's not only us, it's also our team, and it's also you.
It's everyone.
It's the whole team. It's the whole
congrats
team.
Congrats, everyone. If you can hear me.
Oh, they can hear you. They can hear you.
I'm so proud of you guys.
I'm proud of you. And speaking of the game, you know, you come off the bench for both games so far. What were the nerves like?
I wasn't nervous. Like, this is so weird. Like, I was not nervous. Like, I think the bond that I created with the girls in camp, it's made, like, and when I see it getting tough, I'm like eager to get on there and lift them. Like, I just, that's what I want to do. I want to bring impact. I want to help rise my teammates as much as I can before I come off again. And I felt like I've done a, you know, okay job with it. Like, you know, but no, I wasn't quite nervous. I was more nervous in the anthem when we like singing a song and that. Like, I was just really teary-eyed. Like, just obviously in New Zealand, it was a bit different. Like, no family could be there. I had extended family. I don't know them as well. So I didn't really quite have that kind of like connection in that.
I know those, they reach out. Hey, we're cousins. Can I have some tickets?
Oh, I didn't know I had cousins down in Christchurch.
Oh, those ones. I love it.
Cousins in Christchurch. Oh, yeah.
Boys, I wasn't nervous. Like grateful. I honestly felt like I had really good faith, like just waiting when the moment was right. And as soon as I got there, it was just the people around me, like the staff. And I love them so much. Like, they're just so calm, and it makes me feel calm. Everyone was all calm on that bench. And I think that was a big statement for us, like, is as long as everything stays calm, no chaos and that, I think things would pan out the way we'd like it to. And I just credit to the girls who play those big minutes. So they literally like stood the grind out for as long as they could. And they finally sort of got they won the battle. I thought, you know, like T and that.
Yeah, she was amazing. She hates scoring tries on that edge,
and
but
setting them up.
Hey, last one from me, Salah. You've been through ups and downs through this whole year. Like, talking to Salah now compared to talking to Salah after some of those losses with Origin and Tigers, chalk and cheese. In terms of the emotion, like, you look really happy. Like, honestly, you look really relaxed and happy. What's one thing in this whole journey that's going to make Salah a better football player, you know, in person for next year as well, in terms of your preparation?
Well, honestly, like, funny that you asked me this. So I've reflected on it as soon as I came out of camp, and because all my memories were popping up, like what I was doing a year ago, exactly around this time. And I just known, like, to never take anything for granted, to soak in every moment, like, whether it's good or bad, and to even just, like, be present with everything. Like, you're never going to get that moment again with your loved one or with a friend or a special mentor. So, like I said, like, my whole theme now moving forward, it's soak it all in, live every minute to the fullest, like it's the last day tomorrow. So That's something I've taken on board this whole journey. But yeah, like just looking at what I was doing a year ago, I remember literally a year ago exactly, I was crying. Like I was crying on the lounge with my leg up, just crying. Like I hated myself. And I sort of like nearly doubted my faith. Like I was questioning God, like, why me? Like, you know, I thought I was doing things, you know, to be okay around this time. But I knew then I wasn't doing anything right. Like as much as you think you're doing things right in life, like I think God will find a way to humble you. And there'll be a moment where, you know, it's whether it's the worst or it's like minor, like, you know, bad. Like it's gonna humble you somewhere. There's always a lesson in something. And I'm glad I'm glad I stayed faithfully to my dream. And I'm living it and I'm still trying to let it process. It hasn't hit me. So like I just love that my family have been like supporting me and so happy. Like I'm just so happy to be back. The time Jillaroos, the way they've planned out our campaign, it's like so thoughtful. We get this little time with family again before we get to go back into camp. It's so like it's really important, like the filling your cup, and it's mine's overflowing. And I'm just so like, yeah, I know, like I can hope I can pay it forward to, you know, to other people around me, whoever.
That was perfect. And I was going to follow up and ask about the Fetu Samoa, but I don't want to, I want to finish on that note because
I love Fetu Samoa.
Yes.
Sorry, Sam. I love
Samoa too. No, I loved being out there. It was good.
Well, they do play Fiji, yeah. Pulikula, and I'm guessing that they would win.
Don't be like that. Don't be like that.
But they will be playing the same weekend. Yeah, it will be a good game. But next weekend will be the Pacific Championships finals. And, you know, you might get the opportunity to head out there, watch Fetu Samoa before you go and play for 100%. Australia. But I know that you're a huge supporter of the Fetu Samoa. But I love the message that you just sent there, you know, about being in the moment, filling your cup. You know, God always has a way of humbling you when you're on top of that mountain. So, yeah, enjoy every moment, and I know that you'll be itching to get back into camp with the girls again this Sunday, preparing for the big final next weekend. So thanks again.
Boys. Thank you, Sala. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
absolutely. Legend. Unreal.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Oi, Professor Paulo got his phone back.
Found his phone.
From Bali.
How does that work?
Someone's grabbed it, and he had the old man case with the license and the cards in it. So they've reached out via social media, maybe, and got his phone back to him.
That's all of Professor Paulo's good karma coming back to him. He does a lot of good work in the community, and it's good to see that it's returned back to him because he was sooking there for a bit.
I know he'd be happy with all his videos and photos he had saved on that phone, but Professor Paulo, we have to answer a question that he provides, and we keep a score. The loser at the season has to shout a fancy lunch. It is very tight, 15 to 16. We've only got two more episodes, so let's get this one going.
First, boys, congrats on the award. All the hard work, you deserve it. But my question for today is that Nana McDonald has overtaken the great David Mead as the Papua New Guinea Kumul all-time try scorer. But which current NRL player is third on that list?
Who's third on that list for the Kumuls? So it goes Nene McDonald, then it goes David Mead and
Xavier Coates.
I'm going to go Lachie Lamb.
That answer, and yes, you guessed it. It's the wrecking ball, the hard-hitting Justin Ollum.
Both wrong. How do we forget?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Cement truck.
I shouldn't have said Xavier, but it wasn't. He said NRL, so I knew you were definitely wrong.
Oh, what did I? Why?
Lockie plays Super League.
Oh, but he's played for the Roosters.
He said current NRL player.
Oh, well, we both didn't listen. We're wrong.
Justin Ollum. Well, 15-16. Off to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to
knockout tipping time.
Yeah, I've absolutely dominated still, even though you got two from two last week.
I'm on fire. Maybe
46 to 40.
You've had to tip with your heart a couple of weeks in a row, so
I reckon Declan, producer Declan here, he looks after you, eh? Like, he knows that I'm ahead by six, And he goes, oh, we'll do all four games this weekend to make it interesting.
Like a true referee.
But then last catch up. On Professor Paulo, I said, oh, no, if you lose, you have to shout lunch.
Get out of it. So let's get into it. Here we go. Hey, what was the start with the PNG Kumu? I mean, with the Fiji Bati and the Cook Islands?
Oh, we gave it like...
We gave it a tighter game.
12.
Yeah, 12.
End up being 50.
For this game, what do you want? What do you want for the Cook Islands?
I'm going to need a fair bit, I think. You think Fiji beat Cook Islands in Fiji by 50. Now, PNG beat Fiji in Fiji by 18-0, I think it was.
It was
a little bit more.
A bit more.
And
for me, going off their social media, that was my insight. Just looking at their social media clips, I thought they did a lot of cultural stuff, not too much training. I see this week they'll play in NFL for their recovery and someone's run into the light pole for the Cook Islands. So
seen a few of them play golf yesterday as well.
So I've just, again.
All right, you give me the score. What number do you need?
Is 30 enough?
I just said.
All right, Fiji beat them. Well, I've got 50. To start low, and then we can meet in the middle ground. It's the negotiation bit here.
Why didn't you negotiate with the other day?
We did. We got our number higher.
I'm gonna go 60.
60? Nah, you're not having 60.
Fiji had 50.
Nah, you're not having 60. I'll give you 40.
But Fiji beat them.
Yeah,
by
but they,
50.
This is the response. You said they've been given the royal treatment. This is the response, and it will be tighter. And no Rhys Martin, who's their goal kicker. There's a lot of points in him.
Give me 44.
42 and a half. There we go.
Land 42 in. And a half. Oh, man. You know what? 42 and a half. All right, sweet.
All right, perfect.
Tonga. All right.
Ooh, I like their mods. The disrespect.
Plus 20.
Someone's put plus 20 on there.
There's no chance. I just said Tonga is most likely going to win.
Win. Oh, who? I've got to go Tonga.
Well, you give Kiwis a start by two.
No, I'm not giving. You can't. It's either head to head or Tonga gets a slight head start.
I want to go Tonga, but
you go Tonga then.
Tonga slight head start by. Oh no, we'll go head to head. You go Tonga because it's your country. I'll go Kiwis head to head.
All right, done.
Dan Fetu Samoa Fiji Bulikula.
Oh, yeah, that's
plus 26. No chance. Fiji are. I mean, some are going to run amok.
Yeah, you reckon? I'm with you. I'm with you. You choose this one.
I'll go Samoa plus 26.
As in?
They have to win by.
They have to win. So they're on the minus side of it. Are you giving?
No. Fiji Bulikula will get a start.
Yeah, what's their start?
What do you want?
35, 34. Hey. What do you mean? No.
Way. Fetu Samoa by 26. We'll call it 26.
All right. Sweet.
And PNG Orchids, Kiwi Ferns.
Oh,
who do you want?
Man, can I get PNG Orchids? No disrespect. Obviously, I'm just going off results.
Yep.
I want to give them a 50 head start.
50. 50. 50.
50.
50.
Is that play on or no?
Probably not 50. This is in PNG as well, remember?
They'll
have some support.
No doubt they're going to
42, same as the PNG Kumuls you gave me.
All right, 44.
No, same as the Cook Islands, 42.
42. All right, that's us then. 42.
Done. All right, sorted.
Well, T, it's been an absolute pleasure. Congrats again on the award. It's been a pleasure doing this with you because you're an outstanding human being. And remember, if you want to keep listening to us outstanding human beings, just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the most random outro, but anyway,
yeah, anyway, love you, brother. Gonna go with it.
Everyone have a good weekend. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.